Rambler Sparkling Water was founded in Austin, Texas, and comes in five delicious flavors. Original with no additional flavoring, lemon lime, grapefruit, blackberry, and satsuma, a type of mandarin orange. And when served ice cold, there's just no better tasting sparkling water out there. I have tried all the Rambler flavors. My personal favorite is grapefruit. It is just a very light taste of grapefruit, and you can just drink one after another. It is like a session beer, but, you know, for sparkling water. Anyway, you can follow Rambler on Instagram at Rambler Austin and visit RamblerSparklingWater.com to find out where to buy and learn more about their conservation partnerships with American Rivers and Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Go to RamblerSparklingWater.com. And by the way, Rambler's newest flavor is coming out. It's going to be Wild Cherry, coming out in January. You heard it here first. Go get some Rambler. Autograph Collection Hotels offers over 300 independent hotels around the world, each exactly like nothing else. Hand-selected for their inherent craft, each hotel tells its own unique story through distinctive design and immersive experiences, from medieval falconry to volcanic wine tasting. Autograph Collection is part of the Marriott Bonvoy portfolio of over 30 hotel brands around the world. Find the unforgettable at autographcollection.com. Hey, everybody. We are doing something a little bit different on the show today. We are going to share an episode from an absolutely wonderful show, a show that I really, really love called Terrestrials. If you've heard of Radiolab, this is made by the same people, but it's kind of Radiolab for kids. And it is just absolutely delightful. It is such a joy to listen to. And that's without your children. That's just as an adult. But it is great to listen to with the whole family. And you're just going to come away with a new understanding of whatever it is they are talking about. In this case, they're talking about stumps, like the stump of a tree. You are going to learn more about stumps than you ever even thought possible, and they are awesome. Maybe you thought stumps were boring. Wrong. They rule. Okay. I think you're really going to like this show. So here is Terrestrials.
3, 2, 1.
Imagine you standing in the middle of a forest. Your arms break off and your insides hollow out.
Your skin turns hard and rough.
Humans think of you as being dead, like a ghost.
But the birds and insects and rodents know the truth about you.
Inside, you're brimming with life.
You birth babies.
You fight fire.
You can even catch time. You have become
a stump.
Now is the part where I make you sing the theme song with me.
Oh, God. Okay.
Terrestrials, terrestrials, we are not the worst, we are the
best?
Bestrials.
Yeah, you got it. Terrestrials is a show where we uncover the strangeness waiting right here on Earth. I am your host, Lulu Miller, joined as always by my song bud, Alan.
It's the stuff episode.
And this season, we are looking at things that are usually
overlooked.
And today's guide through the wild world of tree stumps is Scottish artist, writer, and tree expert, Amanda Thompson.
I don't see myself as being an expert in trees, maybe more a lover of trees.
Now, Amanda grew up like most of us, not really noticing stumps. Or if she did, noticing what they weren't.
Trees are for climbing, aren't they?
Can't build a treehouse in a stump, can't get shade from a stump.
No.
So stumps seemed like broken things, sad things, dead things. Until one day, she happened across a stump that would cast a sort of spell on her that would make her see these quiet, dead-seeming stumps completely differently.
They don't look like they're doing anything, but they're doing so much.
All right. So, like most good fairy tales, this one begins in the woods. The deep, dark woods of Scotland. Amanda is staying in a friend's cottage, taking care of the chickens, and one day she decides to go for a walk in the ancient pines. And she walks deeper and deeper into the dark until suddenly a stump catches her eye.
It was very pale. A lot of the bark had fallen off of it, so it was almost silver.
It was a kind of stump called a snag, where part of the tree still stands, but it's hollow inside.
All of the upper branches had snapped.
And as she studied its kind of spooky form, the giant stump began casting its spell.
I just started to notice all these dead trees in the middle of all the life that was going on.
And without really knowing why, she got out her camera and began taking pictures.
They're almost like skeletons.
Can you say any more about what drew you to them at the beginning?
I was just drawn to their difference.
She related to that feeling.
So when I was growing up, I was about the only black kid in a small town. I had such a lovely childhood, but there's moments where you are made to feel different, you know, and you experience racism. And whether it's intentional or unintentional, you still feel it. Mm. So when I was starting to look at the dead trees and trying to think about what they meant for me,
they reminded her a little of her. And she wanted to extend a kind of care to them that she didn't always get as a kid.
There's a lot of kindness that comes when people start to understand the value of difference and what difference can contribute, if that makes sense.
Huh. And so, she kept spending time with these dead trees, trying to get to know them by taking pictures of them.
Their beautiful shapes.
And drawing them.
Made some films.
Of dead trees, etchings of dead trees, sound recordings of, you guessed it,
dead trees.
But her understanding of the value of stumps really clicked in when she started following scientists on walks through the woods. They peeled back the bark, so to speak, and showed her just how many
different beasties that are there.
Beasties like beetles and wasps and mushrooms and flies.
And they hold so much life within them.
The scientists taught her there's a whole class of creatures that need stumps to live. They're what's called
saproxylic.
Saproxylic?
Uh-huh.
It means they would die without dead wood. These are creatures like fungi that slurp up crucial nutrients out of stumps, kind of like a wood smoothie, or beetles that lay their babies inside, or wasps that chew stumps to create nests. And sometimes stumps break apart to create whole new worlds.
Sometimes in the holes, like, you can get water as well, so that creates another microhabitat.
Ugh. Like a little pool, a little pond in the dead tree.
Yeah.
Ha! And while wasps and beetles might sound kind of annoying, without them, you'd lose pollinators and little magicians that turn rot into crucial nutrients for the forest floor. And you'd lose food, crunchy snacks for bigger creatures. In short, without stumps and deadwood, the forest ecosystem would pretty quickly collapse.
Studies reckon that a healthy forest needs 30% deadwood in order to be a healthy forest.
Wow, that is so much of the forest.
Absolutely.
But Amanda was just getting started. She would go on to spend the next 20 years studying stumps.
Yeah.
And is now going to take us on a tour de stumps, a world tour of stumps doing things I would never dream they could. Saving lives, creating cities, and even changing the sky.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
The tour departs the station right after this short break.
Autograph Collection Hotels offers over 300 independent hotels around the world, each exactly like nothing else. Hand-selected for their inherent craft, each hotel tells its own unique story through distinctive design and immersive experiences, from medieval falconry to volcanic wine tasting. Autograph Collection is part of the Marriott Bonvoy portfolio of over 30 hotel brands around the world. Find the unforgettable at autographcollection.com. It can be really, really hard to get people a good gift. And there's kind of no worse feeling than getting someone a gift that they clearly do not want. But you can avoid that because this year you can give timeless gifts made from premium materials with Quince. Quince will let you treat your loved ones and yourself to everyday luxury at affordable prices. They have these super soft fleece sweatpants, which are truly going to be better than whatever you or your loved one is lounging around in right now. And they have this packable puffer jacket, which is basically, it's perfect for anybody who's traveling for the holidays. I got myself one of the cashmere waffle shirts, which like I thought it's probably a little too fancy for me. Turns out it's not. It's perfect. I really like it. So gift luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/wonder for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's quince.com/wonder to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/wonder. Hey, it's me again. I'm back to hang out mid-show. I have two quick things for you, two short announcements. First, Radiolab is holding an extremely unique contest. They are asking you to vote to name a quasi-moon. And a quasi-moon is, it's an asteroid that is pretending to be a moon. It looks like they are orbiting Earth, but in fact, they're just orbiting the sun. Anyway, we have seven quasi-moons. They're not as important as the real moon, but they are extremely valuable for science and exploration, and they give a little peek into kind of the planet's neighborhood for scientists. So you, listeners, can vote to name the quasi-moon. The winning name is going to be certified by the International Astronomical Union, and voting is open until January 1st. So go and name that quasi-moon. You know, Asteroidy McAsteroid Face is always an acceptable option. Anyway, there is a link in the episode description. The second thing is, a few years ago, Atlas Obscura made something that I'm still very proud of. We made a VR app. And that maybe doesn't sound that exciting to this audience of world explorers and people looking for real experience, but the whole point of this was to make this incredibly immersive experience going to some places that you might not otherwise get to. So we went and we filmed in these actual locations. We went to places like Damanhur, the eco cult in Italy, where there's five stories of temples carved deep underground. It's amazing. We went to this place, Salina Turda, this salt mine in Romania that's basically been turned into an amusement park. And then we took all of the things that VR can do and we tried to get the most out of them. So this app has recently been re-released for like the Meta Quest headsets. So if you are getting someone a Quest headset for the holidays, or if you get one for the holidays, go get the Atlas Obscura VR app. It is super cool. And to get it for a little cheaper, there is a code pod30-6EF825. Go and download the Atlas Obscura VR app on headsets near you. Okay, back to Terrestrials.
Terrestrials is back, and I am lacing up my hiking boots for a tour de stumps. Three stumps hidden on our planet that aren't famous, but totally should be.
Uh-huh.
That's our stump lover, Amanda Thompson. Okay, Amanda, where are you taking us for stump one?
We're going to Illinois.
Rural Illinois to meet a stump that changed the sky. I am somewhere in southern Illinois. I'm looking out at a bunch of windmills. Just boop, 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 boop. Once Amanda revealed the location, I hopped in my car and drove for hours. A lot of fields through flat, kind of dry looking industrial bean farms and corn farms until, I turned off onto a little dirt road to meet with a firefighter.
Hey, it's great to meet you.
Named Tyler Funk, who, well, discovered this stump.
So we are approaching stump.
We're close.
We walk for a while on the mud and sprouts of a bean farm until...
Yeah, it's kind of gnarled and
almost black, really dark brown.
We reach a huge stump up to my shoulders.
Very typical, like, pretty flat top. A little bit of bird poop on it.
Now, Tyler, like Amanda, didn't think he cared about stumps. He was way more into...
It's a lot of birding gear.
Yeah.
Do you have binocs?
Birding.
They're in here.
Oh yeah, big ones.
On his way to the fire station many mornings, he would get up early and pull off onto the side of the road to quietly observe the little birds that came out of the brush.
Sparrows.
And sweet little warblers and finches flitting about in their natural habitat.
And then one day in 2010, he saw something very out of place. A prairie falcon. Now allow me a brief aside to tell you how prairie falcons are the goblins of the sky. Most raptors shoot down from above and grab their prey in their talons, but a prairie falcon?
It's going so fast and it punches something with its fist and it can just, I don't want to be morbid, but it can just basically disintegrate, you know, what it hits.
Oh, so it doesn't grab, it just punches?
Yes, it's just like hitting it with a hammer.
Whoa!
Gnarly!
Now, for Tyler's half a century of birding, he had never seen a prairie falcon in Illinois before. Those birds preferred the American West, where there were tons of jagged cliffs and boulders off of which they could perch and hunt prey. So for years, Tyler and some other birders kept scanning the sky, wondering if they'd ever see it again. And every now and then, over the years, they did. And slowly, carefully, they tracked it to its home base, which was... this stump. This huge stump in the middle of a farmer's field. In early mornings, Tyler would sit in his car near the stump, and like magic, the falcon, so rarely seen in these parts, would appear from the sky.
You could just watch him just stretching his wings, you know, yawning.
And hunting. The stump made the perfect perch for the falcon to scan for prey.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler was amazed by the stump, but he had, you know, fires to fight. So he asked the farmer if he could set up a camera so he could monitor the stump 24/7. And that's when things got even weirder, because it wasn't just a falcon coming.
I have footage of a snowy owl sitting on the stump, raptors, kestrels, Cooper's hawk, red-tailed hawk, rough-legged hawk.
Whoa. And it didn't stop there.
Coyotes have been up there, so they've had a pretty good jump to get up there. I think I've had skunk up there, a weasel, a mink, rats, possums, and there's mice that come out and crawl around on that stump.
It was almost like a fairy tale, where the stump was a kind of magnet that pulled rare beasts from the sky and below.
Actually, this winter, I had a bobcat on top of that
what?
Stump. Yeah, I really didn't expect to see that.
Tyler's theory is that those huge flat bean and corn farms in southern Illinois, well, as much food as they might produce for us, they don't have much to offer the other critters of the earth.
We're looking at basically scarred earth that's all you can see is dirt. There's really no biodiversity out here.
Huh. So it's kind of like a desert out here?
I think actually a desert probably has better biodiversity than this does, to be honest with you.
It's worse than a desert. Okay.
It's worse than a desert, yeah.
But the stump, in its way, is bringing life back. Its wood feeds bugs, which attract rodents, which hide in the roots, which attract bobcats and coyotes, and even those rare raptors, which are now darkening the sky with wings that hadn't been seen in decades. Which is why Tyler and others now call it
The magic stump.
Okay, so that was stump number one. Amanda, where is the next stump on our tour?
We are going to Buckhannon, West Virginia.
West Virginia! And now, apparently, we are going to up the ante. We're going to meet a stump that is not just a hotel for rodents and birds and coyotes, but...
humans.
Humans?
Yeah.
So we're walking across a field, kind of like a soccer field. There's a little river to our right.
We sent the songbird Alan and producer Anna to go check it out.
There it is. Straight ahead is this large...
big, wiry...
wiry white.
I love how this tree looks. Like, it looks old.
All right, so we are going to roll back to the 1700s. The forest was dense with ancient oaks and spruces and maples.
It was the absolute wilderness, huge trees.
This is Gene Thorne, a wildlife biologist who is probably the world expert on this one particular stump.
Yeah.
And the story goes that running through that forest were two brothers who were trying to escape. Now, this was way back before the United States was a country and the British were trying to colonize the land. And those two brothers were scouts in the British Army, but they didn't want to fight anymore. So they'd abandoned their posts and ran into the forest as fugitives. And as they ran, they were looking for a place to hide from
copperheads, rattlesnakes, mountain lions.
And of course, the British Army, they would be in huge trouble, like executed trouble, if they were caught. And one day, these brothers,
Sam and John Pringle,
they came to the banks of a river and they saw.
Well, that's where they found the hollow sycamore tree.
A massive hollow stump with bright white bark.
It was over 11 foot high, 11 foot wide. It's the size of a bedroom in an apartment.
Wow. So tentatively, they climbed inside.
I can't believe how deep that goes.
I can't believe you're standing up right now.
Oh, easy, too. Like, I can put my arms straight up in the air, and I am not touching the top.
And they liked it. It was warm, cozy.
It smells like a fresh forest floor.
Yeah, it is.
So they decided to move in, and almost immediately began tricking out their stump.
Welcome to MTV Cribs Stumps Edition.
Today we got the Pringle Brothers.
Let's check out this stump.
First we got the bed.
Mattress made of leaves. Layers of fur hide.
Fuzzy.
They use their hides for blankets.
Mad cozy.
And check out this door.
Made out of bark.
Custom made.
Tan skins to keep the winter weather out.
No, and no stump is complete without a lit fireplace for cooking up gamey stew.
Ooh. Where's all that smoke gonna go?
A little opening at the top where the smoke went up and out. It's just like a chimney.
See you next time.
Wait, but so if you were to like walk through the forest and you come across this kind of giant 11-foot tall stump and there'd be like a little trail of smoke coming out the top?
Yeah, so you'd have a smoky smell.
Okay, I mean, I'm picturing them in there. They've got like meat jerky hanging on the walls. Are wolves and bears and other critters not drawn to that smell? And
now that's a really interesting question.
Because apparently one day a bear did attack. Well, after Sam had tried to shoot it.
He had big red eyes. And there was these snarls of saliva coming out of his mouth.
Gene, it turns out, is also a historical reenactor who will sometimes dress up as Sam Pringle and tell the legend of that bear attack as though he was Sam himself.
So I drew my knife out, and by that time he had hit me and got me down on the ground, and he was chewing on me.
Oh.
And I sunk that knife behind his shoulder, and I blacked out right then.
A few hours later,
John, he found me.
Samuel!
Laying on the ground, and he had to literally carry me down off of the hill and into our tree, and he laid me down and put a blanket on me and tucked me up.
Good brother, John.
Great brother.
Sam's little brother knew he was going to have to hike hundreds of miles to the nearest town to find supplies. So he left Sam there all winter long, vulnerable, aching, the snow swirling outside, protected by the stump. And after months,
I was running out of food. It was getting critical.
But then one glorious day,
back over the mountains, here came John, and he was refreshed with good news. The war was over, and so the British Army was no longer looking for us.
So they were safe to move to a nearby town. Sam got married. They moved into a house. But after just a little bit of time, he realized he missed his stump. So he convinced his wife and some friends to return.
Pioneers came over the mountain with him, and they all lived in that tree till they got their cabins built.
Wow.
So there were several families, actually, that lived in there for a time period.
Oh, so like how many people do you think in that one stump?
About 10 to 12 people that would have been inside the... Yeah.
Oh, that's a tight pack.
The stump sheltered them as Sam Pringle and his friends built cabin after cabin, which would eventually turn into the city of Buchanan, which now has over 5,000 people. And alongside the river that flows through the town is a park where the stump used to be. And right near it is a hollow sycamore tree that they have named the Pringle tree.
Hey, pass me a Pringle, Pringle.
All right. We are in the Pringle tree, and we are eating...
Pringles.
Pringles. Cheers.
Cheers.
They taste better in the tree.
They taste better in the tree. They sound better in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have visited the magic stump that changed the sky, the Pringle stump that birthed the city. Amanda, where are we going for our final stump stop?
We're going to Wales.
Wales, a small seaside nation in the UK, where in 2014, a mighty tempest rolled through. There was wind and fog and lightning. The waves swelled high into the sky.
Very choppy.
But when the storm finally passed,
there arose from the water all these mysterious structures.
Dozens of black pointy
protrusions that looked like sharks' fins.
But upon closer inspection,
it turned out they were stumps.
Ha! Huh.
Petrified snags and stumps.
Petrified, meaning hardened.
Fossilized.
Into this forest of preserved deadwood poking out from the sea. People came from all over to wander through these ghost trees. And as they did, they noticed that in the fossilized dirt, there were
human footprints of children and adults
from more than 5,000 years ago.
Scientists analyzed the footprints and learned that this area, which was deep underwater, used to be a human civilization.
And the wild part is this scientific data held in the stumps echoed an ancient legend from Wales, a sort of local fairy tale about a great town that was swallowed up by the ocean. Now, no one really knew if that story was true or not, but the stumps offered up a pretty good guess.
I think there's a lot of histories if you start to pay attention to looking at a tree and what you see in them.
Mm.
Toot, toot.
Well, that concludes Amanda's tour to stumps.
Just been so lovely to spend time talking about stumps with you, Lulu.
Oh, it's been the best. And that was only 3 stumps out of all the stumps you've written about, out of all the stumps on the planet.
Yeah.
There are also redwood stumps that kind of fight forest fire with their special thick bark, and stumps that shelter baby bats like woody nurseries, and a stump in Tanzania that keeps shooting out new life.
Yeah.
And there are probably so many more secrets and powers waiting in the dead-looking parts of the forest.
Absolutely. I'm still learning. I haven't finished yet, but I don't know where I'm going to go next.
Fabulous deadwood, you make me glad the way only a stump could. I know there's more to you than meets the eye. No lie, you sure got me mystified.
I try to get to the root of it, oh. I'm out on a limb, I can't leave it alone. Hot shot, I wanna know what you got. Deadwood, aha, I wanna watch you rot.
One, two, three, four. Hardcore arbor. A tree corpse on the forest floor. Check out the stump.
Thump, thump.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. They say you're dead wood, but I think you're kinda not. Because you're full of life. Yeah, you're so alive. What more could anybody want from me? One and only S-T-U-M-P.
Ali Gafinski, everyone. Bringing down the house with the materials that make the house, the wood, the stumps, the planks, the snags. And that's it. That is all that Terrestrials has to offer you today. There is nothing else cool about to have it.
What's that?
Excuse me, I have a question.
Me too.
Me three.
Me four.
The Badgers.
Listeners, with badgering questions for the expert. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hey, my name is Joe. I am 29 years old. My question is, does the stump know that the rest of the tree is gone?
That's quite sad and quite existential. Maybe it's just living its own moment.
My name is Elise. I'm 6 years old. Can trees get band-aids for snags?
You're going to have to ask a scientist about that question.
Okay. Gene?
Yeah, they can. There's people that make a living. They call themselves tree surgeons.
Huh.
And if you get a broken branch off, you can actually go and wrap it up with a Band-Aid.
Wow.
And kind of a tarry-like substance goes underneath to keep the moisture from getting inside and causing rot.
Well, I wonder if those tree surgeons had to take a Hippocratic oath.
Hi, my name is Sia. I'm 12 years old. My question is, do bears scratch themselves on dead wood or only on trees that are alive?
For the most part, they choose live trees.
Huh.
They're getting rid of their winter coat, so they'll rub up and down the tree and take that fur off. The other thing that happens, they're trying to rub and get ticks dislodged and off of themselves. And there's been some research that the oils off of birch trees and pine resin are actually a tick repellent.
Smart.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm 33 years old, and I'm joined by
Sophie
and
Sophie.
Ages 5 and 2. And we'd like to know, why do we say we're stumped when we run into a question we can't answer?
Is it because of the shape of the stump? You can't see the kind of a way to branch off into your thinking. I have been stumped.
Well, that is the most perfect place to leave it. Biggest thanks again to Amanda Thompson. If you would like to read her beautiful writing, check out her book, Belonging. There is a lot in there about tree stumps, other overlooked things, and people. And it's got a gorgeous painting of a hollow, stumpy snag on the front. Again, that's Belonging by Amanda Thompson. Terrestrials was created by me, Lulu Miller, with WNYC Studios. This episode was produced by Anna Gonzalez, Mira Bertwin-Tonic, Alan Gafinski, Joe Plord, and me, with help from Tanya Chala, Sarah Sandback, and Valentina Powers. Fact-checking by Natalie Middleton. Support for Terrestrials is provided by the Simons Foundation, the Arthur Vining Davis Foundations, the Calliopeia Foundation, and the John Templeton Foundation. Thank you! And also wanted to give a big shout-out to the documentary The Magic Stump. That is how I learned about Tyler Funk's stump. Tyler Funk stump. In Illinois. It's a great documentary. Bob Dolgan is the filmmaker. You should go watch it. See all the raptors and beasts and humans that, you know, come pay homage to this stump. That, again, is called The Magic Stump. Finally, teachers, we have free teaching materials on our websites that go along with many of the episodes. We worked with PBS Learning Media to make sure everything aligns with national standards. We've got them for grades K-8, and they are free and they are fun. And you can find them and print them out at radiolab4kids.org. If you are liking what you're hearing over here in Terrestrials, please like and subscribe to the podcast. It helps our chances of continuing on. Like a tree stump, giving more life and audio stories to you. All right, that'll do it. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you in a couple spins with this dirty old planet of ours. Bye.
Then in the summer, there's almost always a barred owl that you can hear from right here. And they make a sound that is, who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? And I'll do you a little rendition of that.
Who likes skipping breakfast? I know I don't, but I like to keep money in my pocket. Thanks to McDonald's, breakfast on a budget has never hit this good. I can grab two McD faves, like a sausage McGriddles, sausage burrito, hash browns, or the savory sausage McMuffin. I can even add a premium roast coffee for $1.69, any size, any time of day, and order ahead in the app so it's ready when I get there. Bite into breakfast without breaking your bank at Mickey D's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
The Tito's handmade vodka was ice cold, condensation trickling down the copper metal shaker.
It's gotta be fresh lime, they drawled. Tart, but balanced. They weren't normally this finicky about cocktail hour, but with Tito's, it had to be perfect. Simple syrup, the final ingredient. The sound of shaking filled the room to the brim. For the perfect pour at next week's book club, try the Tito's Gim Literature. Find the recipe at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.